The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. Veg World Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at vegworldmag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at sportsnutritionsociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at oneliferadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy Furbulous Friday. I feel positively contagious.
Yes.
I've got love in studio with me.
Oh, nice.
As well. Mm-hmm. And for those of you maybe don't know this inside joke, so Love is a dog that I rescued during COVID-19. I rescued two, Charlie and Love. They're both pit bull mixes, and Love is quite a handful, but he is so full of love. That's how we got the name Love. He's a hugger. He's a dog that wants to hug everybody, and he's a little crazy, but I have him up in studio, and I do this little voice of him from time to time, and so he may pop on the air during the next.
Does he have his own mic now?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love to hear you laugh. Oh my gosh. Well, we've got a fantastic show. I'm super excited. At the half, we have Lisa Gainsley, you guys. She is a veteran lymphatic therapist, educator, and advocate. And her first book, The Book of Lymph, is a self-care practice to enhance immunity, health, and beauty. She's got an incredibly dedicated, famous clientele like Larry David and Selma Blair and Candace Nelson. I could go on and on, but she's an absolute rock star, you guys, and she's amazing. Her book, The Book of Lymph, I cannot wait to talk about it. No one talks about the lymphatic system. It's time we talk about it.
I don't hear enough about it, for sure.
Well, let me tell you. So I just sent my niece a copy of her book for a late birthday present, but it's an excellent book.
Is that the book that somebody actually stopped while we were having lunch and wanted to take a picture? Is that the same one?
No, that's Decoding the Holy Grail. But I didn't have the Book of Lymph with me that day. But the book, so this is glad you brought it up, because next week we will have the author. Hold on, I got to pull it out of here. It's Dr. Robert J. Flower, PhD, and a guy did stop and take a picture of it when we were having lunch at our staff meeting last week, and it's Decoding the Holy Grail and the Discovery of the Potential Molecule. I might have to get a little high to read that one. I don't know. I'm just joking, of course. And then next week we also have Toxic Legacy, How the Weed Killer Glyphosate is Destroying Our Health and the Environment. Stephanie Seneff, PhD. And this book is being compared to, Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring. Going to be a great show. We've got a lot of really great authors coming up in the upcoming weeks. But right now we've got today's show. We've got to get to it here because it's Furbulous Friday, and I've got Mark Peralta on the line. Do I not? Is he there?
You most certainly do. Yes. I'm happy to be here.
All right, Mark. Well, let me introduce you. Okay, so Mark Peralta is the Chief Program Officer for Best Friends Animal Society, a leading national animal welfare organization dedicated to ending the killing of dogs and cats in America's shelters. Mark also founded and runs Vintage Pet Rescue with his wife, Kristen, rescuing senior pets from shelters and assisting owners who can no longer care for their senior pets. What a wonderful wonderful thing to do. You can find Mark at bestfriends.org or Mark and his wife, Kristen, at vintagepetrescue.org. Okay, you guys had your big Best Friends National Conference last month. Mark, can you fill us in on the highlights? What happened?
Well, I think the biggest highlight, first and foremost, is we still we're not ready to have, obviously, an in-person conference. So this was the first time the Best Friends Conference was virtual. We really loved it. I mean, the thing that was positive about that is that we had nearly 3,000 attendees, much easier, I think, than people traveling to a certain spot. 150 speakers. You know, over 100 sessions, like it was fantastic and a lot of good stuff just to kind of keep people motivated and keep the momentum, the life-saving momentum going, because this is like the toughest time in the year for us in animal welfare. So sometimes it's not even just always about learning. It's just let's recharge these batteries and yeah. use each other to keep each other built up during a really tough time in animal sheltering.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I mean, we talked about it even something, you know, last week, our staff meeting, we all felt, you know, just energized afterwards. You have to get in front of people. You have to get together. You have to use that synergy, like you said, to build strength and keep going, because what you guys do is so tough. It is so, so tough. And right now across the nation, shelters and rescue groups are suffering tremendously from major overcrowding. Why is this happening, Mark?
You know, to be honest, it's a special year in some aspects, and another aspect, it's what animal shelters always deal with. So we'll start with the latter. Is the summertime, traditionally in the animal world, for whatever reason, some of it is because there's kitten season, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not all just cats. Dogs come in at a higher rate in many communities across the country as well. So always shelters know that when, you know, April, May hits, we're going to start getting busy, and it's going to last through September, October. You know, where we're just going to have to deal with higher populations of animals. I think this year it's even more troublesome because, one, just like retail or the airline industry, there are staffing constraints and issues in animal shelters where we're really struggling to find enough people to kind of do the work, especially when you have more animals. And that's been really tough. And then third, we had a little bit of a silver lining last year with COVID in regards to we still had more animals. You know, we had the summer months, but because of, you know, the shelters and kind of the community being more affected by the pandemic, there was a bit of a relief on some of these animal shelters to be able to space out their staff and their staff out, you know, have different kind of opening hours. So it's really been 2 years for a lot of these staff members, and some mm-hmm. have never seen it because they got into the field. I've seen animals coming into shelters at this rate. It's not as high as it was in 2019, but you're still seeing shelters with dogs and cats at tremendously high levels. Their capacities mm-hmm. are overwhelmed, and it's really tough.
Yeah, and it's tough on the animals. I can't even tell you the stories that I read. You read them too, Mark. You know, anybody that's in the business of rescuing animals or trying to help animal organizations, we all deal with it, and it is overwhelming. It is so sad. It's hard to deal with, actually. It is. I saw a story on Dallas Dogger last night about a little puppy here in Dallas, been on the street for months, you know, starving to death. Someone dumped it, and it was had a belly full of rocks and sticks. You know, it's going to need a lot of, you know what happens from there.
I mean, serious surgery,
surgery, a lot of recovery time. And just, it's just like, it's so unnecessary. We all need to do our part. If you see an animal suffering or you see one on the street, pick it up, take it to a shelter, you know, do the right thing. Don't just drive past it, and don't dump your dog. Hopefully none of my listeners would ever do that, but you know, or tell family members that maybe are thinking of like turning their pet over to a shelter. Don't do it. Find a way to make it work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, there's ways to, if you could, you know, just help shelters, if you find a lost dog, just spending a little time to see if you can help find that animal's home,
right?
Before, you know, everything going directly to the shelter. Or like you said, you know, there's a lot of resources if you're struggling with vet care, those kind of things that your community might be able to provide where you don't have to give your animal up. There's a lot of people struggling, mm-hmm. but the shelters are amongst the most struggling. And I think the thing is, to your point, it's really sad on the animals, but these are shelter workers at times that they don't want to make decisions of ending the life of an animal for space. Yeah. And that is a real reality, which seems like a very strange and kind of horrific thing to do to people who love animals that get mm-hmm. in this field. And it is a reality that is damaging to mm-hmm. fellow Americans.
Yeah, no, it isn't. I was in Petco getting cat litter a couple of days ago, and I met this woman who had this little tiny cat in her cart, and she was trying to do the right thing. You know, bless her heart. She was truly a good person, but she had two young children with her that were being very rough with this little 8-week-old kitten, and I did everything I could to talk to her. I gave her my card, told her if she had any questions or if she no longer wanted the cat. A friend of hers took three from another friend, three little kittens, and this kitten was so scared, Mark. You've seen it before. I've seen it before. She just wanted to be with her mama. It's too early to take a cat and adopt it out into this big wide world that we live in, and it just broke my heart. I didn't sleep that night thinking about this kitten, you know. rough the kids were being with it. I tried to talk to him like, this is a baby, you know, you have to be really gentle with it, and it's just right. it breaks my heart. We need so much education in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And there, you know, there's a lot of people and a lot, like I said, there's just a lot of resources, whether it comes into like things like you're talking about, kind of basics around, you know, animal handling, but also just things that community members can do. And I know it's summer and people want to take vacations and gosh, great for them. But animals can go on vacation. Animals
right.
can find babysitters. Like mm-hmm. it is not a time where if you were thinking about adopting a pet, you know, the shelters really need us right now. And the community, we really, you know, need the community like they stepped up for us last year to just continue, because there's a lot of momentum in life saving and it's really great, but you're still talking about, you know, almost 350 animals still dying for space and shelters.
Wow.
So we're not there, and there's a lot of hard work still ahead.
Yeah, no, there is. And we're going to take a quick break here today. More coming up with Mark Peralta. I encourage you to go to bestfriends.org. Check it out. There's lots of little things that you can do. If we all come together, maybe we can fix this problem as a nation. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Mark Peralta. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On social media at One Life Radio.
All right. I love that song. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. It is Furbulous Fridays, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. It's a company that I've used for years, and they are our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. They have a lot of amazing products for both canine and feline. Check them out. You can get them at any natural health food store, and they are a great company, a very generous company, I might add. They gave a bunch of food to Dallas Dogger here locally. In fact, I'm getting ready to probably take some dog food up there to them over the weekend. Patty Dawson, who's a regular on the show as well, does a lot of work, just like Mark Peralta, who is with us today as the Chief Program Officer for Best Friends Animal Society, which is a leading national animal welfare organization dedicated to ending the killing of dogs dogs and cats in America's shelters. And Mark and his wife, Kristen, rescue. They have a senior rescue called Vintage Pet Rescue. So they rescue senior pets from shelters and assist owners who can no longer care for their senior pets. You can find Mark at bestfriends.org or vintagepetrescue.org. So, Mark, let's continue this very important conversation about national shelter overcrowding emergency here in the USA. So what can we do and how can we stop this from happening?
So, well, first I want to just make sure, so everybody, it's a Friday. I don't want everybody to get super bummed out. There is a ton of really great progress and really great work going on. But that being said, as Bernadette, you're saying, summertime is a extremely busy time where you have animals and, you know, stacking up in shelters all across the country. And, you know, it's just you as the public, you know, just awareness first off. And we talk about this a lot when we talk, but, you know, foster care is a really big thing where people mm-hmm. in the public, and again, I know it's summer, but it's okay. Like, take your foster pet on a trip. If you can't take it on a trip, sometimes even if you can keep an animal for a week, you know, at a time or those kind mm-hmm. of things, it could be really helpful for shelters. And mm-hmm. if you're thinking about a new pet, please, please, please just consider a local shelter because they really need, you know, as many adoptions and as many potential new homes for the animals in the shelters. And there's so many wonderful animals there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And part of it, there's an overpopulation. We shouldn't be producing animals right now. I know there's a lot of specific breed lovers out there, and I get it. I understand that. But that should come to a halt when we're in an emergency overcrowding situation like this. It really should. I mean, how that'll ever happen, I don't know. But do you feel it's a problem with how the rescues are matched with their adopters in any way? Because there were so many that you talk about it. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think there's a few issues with that. And I'm not sure if this is exactly where you're going, but there is a problem at times. And I am somebody who runs a rescue. So I'm speaking about my people as well as my work with Best Friends. And, you know, a lot of times too, it is very difficult. So if you are somebody that volunteers or works at, you know, a rescue or a shelter as well, you know, we have to be really open. Like, we need to make sure that these animals are going to safe homes. Mm-hmm. But we also tend to be a little bit overprotective and judgmental and put a lot of barriers that really don't make a lot of sense that cause people not to want to adopt. People don't want to feel judged when they're looking for an animal. They're excited. So just kind of finding that middle ground of, yes, we want these animals to be properly cared for and be taken care of. That is an absolute. But sometimes it doesn't matter. You know, how high their fences are, or that, you know, Great Danes can live in apartments, guys, like, and those kind of things that sometimes we as a rescue community will put there as a barrier for people that actually want to help.
Well, yeah, no, and I felt that way, the story I told you about in Petco. This woman was a very nice woman. She had two small children, I think too small to have a little tiny kitten like that, because one of them was just, you know, he was a little ill-behaved and wasn't listening to her or me. And so, you know, you don't want to make her feel judged, and I didn't. I was very, very kind and understanding, but I just know, you know, it's, three little kittens, so there was three little kittens. She took two of them, another friend took another one. They're going to become teenagers. They're going to become problematic when they're no longer little and cute and they start, you know, misbehaving or scratching the kid because the child is, you know, being too rambunctious with it. And these are all things that you have to consider. And then that animal typically will get thrown out the door and end up on the street. You know, we'll make it an indoor-outdoor cat. Maybe it's not spayed or neutered yet. And next thing you know, you've got more kittens on the planet, right? So it's...
Yeah, no, and that definitely is a big issue. And you want to be able to help kind of match people up to their expectations a little bit better. And again, it is about keeping those animals safe. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, no, it is. And so what do you see happening in the near future? Do you see this trend continuing?
You know, the summer trend is something I think we're always going to deal with. I've been in animal welfare since 2006, and it's been a fact and reality of every shelter that I've worked in. The numbers have gotten better overall, as we've talked about. But yeah, I do think there's going to be times where, you know, even if everybody is no-kill, you know, which means that, you know, healthy and treatable animals are getting out, it doesn't mean that your shelter is not going to run into situations where that could be tested if they have too many animals, if those kind of things. So it's what I see in the future is continued progress. I think we're going to get to our 2025 goal. I think the thing that shelters are worried about and that the public should be very aware of is the work never stops. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to maintain it. You have to continue to get to neighborhoods where more help is needed and there's no resources and helping those animals that aren't reaching the shelter right now. So it is kind of a lifelong commitment. It just evolves as any kind of business mm-hmm. or movement does with kind of where things are going.
Well, yeah, and you run Vintage Pet Rescue, you know, with your wife, Kristen. And so you guys know what it's like. I bet you hardly ever go on vacation. I know I don't. I have 18, and I recently lost two. I had 20, but it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of commitment. Like you said, it's a commitment.
It is, Bernadette, and I got to tell you, I take that mental health stuff pretty seriously because I really do run against it with my job at Best Friends and doing a rescue. So I really do, we rely on fosters and we are making ourselves do vacations and little things. Sure, we're not going away for 3 weeks. No. And I probably wouldn't do that anyway, but I would encourage you, Bernadette, to figure out how you can because, you know, you got one life and you need to enjoy it.
Absolutely. One body, one mind, one life. One Life Radio. Well, you know, it is very taxing. It does wear on you. It really, really does. I feel like I can never go anywhere that I just, you know, I don't want my animals to suffer, but I will take your advice seriously. And I appreciate you sharing that with me. But, you know, at the heart of Best Friends is let's end this segment on something really beautiful. Okay. So at the heart of Best Friends is the sanctuary that you have located in the majestic Red Rocks. I'm reading this off of your website, Red Rocks of Southern Utah. Come and see the animals that inspire our work around the country. That's a great summer trip.
It is an amazing summer trip. And it's not, you can go to Best Friends and you can still, there's two national parks that are within there, Bryce and Zion. And if you've never seen those two places, they're incredible. You have the North Rim of the Grand Canyon, and you can spend time, and there's a lot of pet-friendly hotels there. So you can take pets on sleepovers from the sanctuary, help us if you want to volunteer. I mean, it is life-changing. It was life-changing for me the first time and every time I go there.
Well, I guess that's where I'm going to go. What do you think, love? Oh, I think that'd be great, Mom. He keeps me laughing. I do that little voice all the time. It's so fun. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, Mark, I want to tell you how much we appreciate all the work that you guys do. And so, you know, you just go to bestfriends.org. You guys still have, and I got my credit card, my Credit One credit card, where 1%, I believe, is given back to Best Friends. And also you can donate on the website as well, right? Like do like a...
Yes, you can.
The auto one that I did, you know, where it's like $5 a month and you never have to worry about it. It's just always there. But that helps you guys to be more stable and complete the projects that you need to complete because the rocket does not go up without funding, right? And you guys are on target to complete your task of having, you know, no more euthanasia in this country by 2025. That's the goal, right?
Yeah, so we want to see, every healthy, treatable animal saved, and we are well on our way to a goal. There's about 350,000 still every year being killed in shelters at this time, but that means that there is a slew so much higher of them being saved. So we are completely nonprofit. Best Friends is a big national organization, but mm-hmm. we only survive through donations.
Right.
So all of this work is because of people like you, Bernadette. So thank you for your monthly gift always.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm happy, you know, to do my part, anything I can, and I hope everyone out there listening is encouraged to maybe do a little more, and just maybe we'll fix this thing once and for all.
We're going to continue, but this is a big landstone. If shelter people that work there don't have to end the life of healthy animals, that's a big plus, and we can continue to do more for our communities and animals. So thank you for your time, Bernadette. I love being on.
Absolutely. Love having you on. Mark Peralta, everyone. Go to bestfriends.org and get on their auto pay, even just $5 a month, and do your part if you can. Thank you so much, Mark. We'll talk to you later, alligator. You have a fantastic weekend.
Good.
All right, everyone. We've got Lisa Gainsley coming up. I am so excited about her book, The Book of Lymph, 5 minutes a day for boosting immunity and beauty. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
When I get your call, I'm
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right, everyone, are you ready? TGIF, it's Furbulous Fridays, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. We are live from Dallas, Texas. This is Bernadette with Junior in the mix. And as I said, we're broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. I'm so honored to have Lisa Gainsley with us. She is a veteran lymphatic therapist, educator, and advocate. She holds a double certification in lymphedema therapy, as well as is a member of the Lymphatic Education and Research Network, as well as the National Lymphedema Network. Lisa's experience spans from her time spent at UCLA Medical Center working with cancer patients to now a private practice where she counts Selma Blair, Michelle Monahan, Melissa Etheridge, and Frida Pinto, along with Larry David as her dedicated clientele. She also leads workshops across the country and has pioneered the field of lymphatic self-massage. Her first book, I have it here in my hands, The Book of Lymph, Self-Care Practices to Enhance Immunity, Health, and Beauty, centers around the five-minute self-massage techniques she developed during her 20-plus year career. Her website is thelymphaticmessage.com. That's thelymphaticmessage.com, or on Instagram at thelymphaticmessage. Such an honor to have you with us, Lisa. Welcome to One Life Radio.
Happy Friday. Thank you so much for having
me. Yes, yes, yes. That's a mouthful. All the lymphoderma and lymphatic and all that. But you know what's funny about this, Lisa, is no one really talks about our lymphatic system.
Thank you.
They don't.
I think it's time.
I do too. Well, and it's such an integral part of our body. So let's talk about it. Can you explain to our listeners what the lymphatic system is and what it does?
Absolutely. First of all, your lymphatic system is part of your immune system. So especially the past year and a half, the key word has been immune system and immunity. Your lymphatic system helps remove excess bacteria, viruses, pathogens that gets trapped in the connective tissue in between your cells and helps filter it out so you don't have a bunch of congested toxins in your body. My goal is for people to understand that when they enhance their lymphatic system, they can really help strengthen their immune system.
Wow. And you said the word congested. So, and you know, I have to bring Junior into this because Junior, we've never talked about this on the air. Not like this. And he's very interested as well. You didn't know anything about it either, did you, Junior?
No, not at all.
I mean, so many people don't. They really have no idea what, I said, it's such an important part of our body and no one talks about it. Yeah.
And what's so crazy is we all know about the cardiovascular system and blood capillaries and blood vessels, but you also have vasculature called lymphatic capillaries, lymphatic vessels, whose job is to take out the waste and toxins and viruses of your body and move it out through your lymph nodes, which a lot of people have heard of their lymph nodes if they're fighting infection or they get cancer. But, you know, rather than it being such a bad word, it's also this natural intrinsic cleansing system of your body. It's twice as vast as your blood system. And it's really important because it is at the root of helping quell inflammation. The lymph vessels in your gut are the first line of defense against foodborne illness. And the lymph vessels in the gut make up 70% of your immune system. It's that important.
I didn't know that about food poisoning. That's crazy. But it makes sense. You know, you always hear, you know, if someone's diagnosed with cancer and it's like, oh, it went into the lymph nodes, you know,
that's
right. I mean, that's when you typically when you'll hear anybody even talk about it or your glands are swollen in your neck. Oh, your lymph glands are swollen.
You're fighting an infection. Well, when you think about where your immune cells are located. So, you know, a lot of people have heard of their immune cells or their B cells or their T cells, your immune cells fight off cancer cells and toxins where in the lymph nodes.
Yeah. So you said.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry. The sound was a little off.
So the fact that you hear about your lymph nodes, but you don't hear about the proactive benefits of engaging your lymph system to help it really cleanse things out more efficiently. And there are ways that you can engage your lymph system to really help keep those toxins clearing out on a regular basis.
Right. Well, you said the word congested. And so what happens when our lymphatic system is congested, and how does it get that way?
So similar to the bloodstream, you know, the bloodstream gets pumped by your heart, and everyone talks about cardiovascular health. Well, there's also lymphatic health. Your lymph vessels, they don't have a central pump like the heart to move it. It depends on muscular movement. That's why exercise is so important. Your diet is really important. Deep diaphragmatic breathing and lymphatic massage. These elements help help put pressure on those lymph vessels to open and close, absorb and propel lymph fluid out. Otherwise, if you're not moving a lot, if you're not exercising or deep breathing or doing lymphatic massage, then what can happen is you can get sort of like a backup in your pipe. Like if you think about your rain gutters on your house, mm-hmm. if you're not sweeping those out on a regular basis, it's going to fill up with those dirty leaves. And then when the rains come, you're just going to have this germy water that doesn't move efficiently. So mm-hmm. you want to clean those pipes, clean those lymph vessels with exercise, lymph massage, and eating properly and drinking lots of water.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I'm looking at your book and there's a long history of this. I mean, we're going back to 280 BC, back when Hippocrates was talking about this. This is a long history, right? So let's talk about the history of it.
Yes. Well, the history really is fascinating. And when one of the you know, throughout history, they're finding the different elements that comprise the lymph system. And it wasn't until very recently that they understood that the lymph system is this, you know, circulatory system of the body. And part of that reason is because it's so microscopic. One of my good friends is an orthopedic pediatric surgeon. She said to me, Lisa, she said, when we dissect cadavers in med school, you can't see the lymph vessels.
Wow.
So it's been this sort of like invisible kind of network that science has really just caught up with recently.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That is fascinating. Well, you know what else is fascinating? So I was reading yesterday an article for another show about addiction, and it was an article about natural strategies for overcoming addiction. And my mind was blown. I was like, oh my gosh, it says skin brushing. And under skin brushing, I'll read this quickly. It just said it's often referred to as the third lung, and dry brushing and the skincare can aid in the detoxification of the body by boosting circulation and improving lymphatic flow.
That's right, because your lymph system is your detoxification pathways. It's sort of, you know, we call it the recycling system, we call it the detoxification pathways. And the other place, you know, not only are your lymph vessels running through the digestive system, your respiratory system, but also, and it wasn't talking about discovery and timeline, 2012 was when we discovered the lymph system exists in the brain and works with the cerebral spinal fluid to help clear out, wash out the amyloid plaque when we sleep. And we know that plaque is indicated in neurodegenerative diseases such as MS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. So the lymph system is also responsible for those detoxification pathways in your brain and all through your body.
Yeah, I was reading that in the book. It's fascinating. This book is so good. So much information in here that I think most people are very unaware of. They just don't know. How did you originally become interested in this?
You know, I think the origins really reside in the fact that when I was 11, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and she went through radiation, chemo, surgery, but she also got really interested in complementary health, macrobiotic cooking, visualization, meditation, and she eventually passed away when I was 13, and that really inspired me to want to live a proactive, healthy life. So in massage school, one of our required courses was lymphatic massage, and it helped my acne, it helped my digestion, and it helped heal some of that like deep grief in my body. And one day the teacher said, if you like this work, you can go on and get certified and work with cancer patients because of how beneficial clearing out those detoxification pathways are.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking here, you know, at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. When we come back, everyone, Lisa, I would love if we could talk about, there's so many issues that that can be helped by this self-massage practice that you teach in the book, like headaches and anxiety, sleep issues, all these things. Let's talk about it when we come back. Sound good?
Sounds great. Sounds great. Thanks so much.
All right. We'll be right back, everyone. Stay tuned. More coming up with Lisa Gainsley. We're talking about the Book of Lymph. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior and Lisa Gainsley. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Lisa Gainsley is a veteran lymphatic therapist, educator, and advocate. She holds a double certification in lymphoderma therapy and is a member of the Lymphatic Education and Research Network, as well as the National Lymphedema Network. She has written her first book, The Book of Lymph. We're discussing it today. Okay, so The Book of Lymph, self-care practices to enhance immunity, health, and beauty, centers around the five-minute self-massage techniques that she has developed during her 20-plus year career. You can find Lisa at thelymphaticmessage.com. That's thelymphaticmessage.com. Okay, Lisa, right before the break, we were going to talk about some of these numerous issues in the human body that we have that can be helped by this self-massage practice. Before we go to that, though, I want to ask you this, because I'm looking at some of the signs of lymphatic congestion, and I just am blown away. I'm blown away, absolutely blown away, that something like bronchitis can be caused by having a clogged lymphatic system.
Well, it's not, well, you know, sort of the chicken and the egg, right? So what is the cause? But one of the root problems there is the excess drain, not being able to properly drain that excess fluid. So your lymphatic system is responsible for the fluid balance of your body, and it helps drain that excess fluid. And when that's left unchecked, that's when you have chronic inflammation, which we know is at the root of most diseases, most chronic illnesses. That's the lymph system's job, to clear it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what is lymphatic drainage? Can we talk about that for just a sec?
Yes. We use it as a term to mean lymphatic massage.
Okay. And you've developed this five-minute lymphatic drainage massage system that we can all do at home. How does it work?
Yeah, so it works just like you would go to a lymphatic massage practitioner. Some of the main principles of lymphatic massage are you're massaging that fluid towards the lymph nodes, where those white blood cells are going to help rid the body of the excess waste and toxins in that fluid so it can return back to the bloodstream. So when you get or give yourself a lymphatic massage, you want to massage the cluster of lymph nodes, then you move that fluid toward them. It's a much lighter massage. Most people are typically used to a deep tissue massage. This is a lot lighter, more gentle, and rhythmic, because most of your lymph vessels are superficial and they rest underneath the surface of the skin before that muscle bed. So you want to massage lightly and in a certain pattern towards your lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm thinking about just massage in general. Just getting massage regularly for your body is a very healthy thing to do, isn't it?
Yes. There have been so many studies on how touch is really beneficial, and it helps the parasympathetic nervous system to reduce cortisol and anxiety. It helps your sleep and your digestion.
Well, let's talk about the numerous issues that we mentioned that can be helped by this self-massage practice that you teach in your book. Number one, so many people, I know so many people that suffer from regular headaches. So that's connected to lymphatic drainage.
And lymphatic, wow. Yes, when we talk about the lymphatic vessels in the brain, and you'd also talk about sinus pressure and sinus congestion in the head. So many people get those sinus headaches. When you are not draining that fluid properly, all that congestion can build up and really cause headaches. So the more you practice lymphatic massage, the more you can really help mitigate those ailments.
Well, let's talk. There's so many here. And some of them are fun. Some of them seem frivolous, like cellulite. But cellulite is not only attractive, it's not healthy for your body either.
Yes, but it's also very common. So I do want people to not give themselves too much of a hard time about it. 80% of women are going to have cellulite at some point in their life, right?
Yeah.
So yes, you can help improve it by dry brushing, lymphatic cupping. I have a sequence for that in my book. And also to incorporate exercises, targeted isometric exercises like weight training are also really good. And massaging that area is going to be really helpful to help reduce the appearance of cellulite.
Well, and exercise, regular exercise helps with draining your lymphatic system, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, your lymph vessels, to propel that lymph fluid, they depend on that musculoskeletal pulsation of the arteries nearby. So the more you can exercise, and there's certain exercises that are really beneficial, like swimming, that pressure off from the water puts weight on that lymph vessels to help move it. Biking, walking, yoga, inversions, going upside down, trampoline, getting on a rebounder, those are really great for the lymph to help move it up towards the heart.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that about the trampoline and the, you know, jumping up and down. What does it do? Just kind of, just, it just, I guess it just shakes the lymph nodes, right? Or the lymphatic system,
yeah,
kind of gets it rolling, gets it moving,
well,
generating?
You know, if anybody sits for a long period of time, is on an airplane, you know, the lymph fluid cools down. So
right,
we want the lymph fluid, the fluid direction that goes from the legs back up towards the heart. So you got to defy gravity to get it back up there.
Mm-hmm.
So trampoline, that's why it's so good to help really rebound that fluid back up towards that heart.
Well, we talked about anxiety a little bit and addiction earlier on, mm-hmm. but you know, the self-massage practice, it helps with anxiety. How does it help with anxiety? That's a big one for so many people.
So many, especially the past year and a half. So one of the major benefits of lymph massage is it really helps bring you out of the sympathetic nervous system where most people live in that fight or flight mode and drops you into the parasympathetic rest and digest state that is calming to the nervous system.
Mm-hmm. And how does it help with sleep issues?
So you're also going down into the parasympathetic nervous system, and it helps, you know, your cortisol isn't being released when you're not in the sympathetic nervous system. And I have a sequence for sleep that is based on the vagus nerve, which kind of wanders through your body and can definitely set you off in the wrong direction if you're trying to get to sleep.
Mm-hmm. And on this list is energy. So many people, you know, have low energy.
Oh,
how does it help with energy?
Brain fog. Yes, brain fog. When you have congested toxins, just hanging out in your body, that isn't going to give you, that's going to rob your energy. So the more you can get those detoxification pathways, moving out those congested tissues, the more space you'll have for any energy. Just like how you feel when you clean out your closet, suddenly mm-hmm. you feel like a lot better. Same thing when you clean up your diet, you're going to have more energy. By reducing that, what we call that lymph load, the load of toxins in your body, you're going to feel more energetic and more mental clarity.
Well, your book, The Book of Lymph, is it's a great book to have in your library. I'll say that for anybody out there questioning, because you know, in chapter 2, you talk about it being your missing link to health. Can we focus on that? We've only got about 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay, absolutely. Like I said, your lymph system runs through every single part of your body. So when you optimize your lymph system, you can optimize digestion to help quell inflammation and bloating, slim the waistline, improve your digestion, and you can also help with the reproductive system, the respiratory system, in the chest, the lungs, and in the brain. So really, the directors of the National Institute of Health have said setting the lymph system may be the key to unlocking the cures for some of these diseases that have eluded science for so many years.
Well, yeah, it makes perfect sense. Like we talked about, too, a little bit earlier, you know, anytime you get sick, typically you get swollen glands. That's your first sign that you're sick and you don't feel well. And so if you get swollen glands like in your neck, that means probably, I don't know, Lisa, does it mean like your whole body that is congested, or
you're
fighting
an infection? You're fighting an infection. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And as you said,
so
viruses
start
too.
Start early. Do your lymph massage early. Do it proactively. And then you will really feel better from the inside out. Sorry, what did you ask me?
No, I'm looking. I was just looking at the clock, but I was going to ask you before we run out of time, because this seems frivolous, but what are some of your favorite beauty tips from your book? Because
listen, I do love the immune boosting benefits, but I'm not going to lie. Slimming your waistline, I don't want to have bloat in my stomach, so I do love that. Glowing skin. Who doesn't want glowing, radiant skin? So improving cellulite, slimming your waistline, radiant skin. Those are some of my favorites too.
Well, yeah, and the gua sha is part of. Is that, am I pronouncing it correctly? My daughter.
Yeah.
So my teenage daughter is all about the lymphatic system, and she does all the draining and uses the gua sha. Mm-hmm. And there's the music. But She said she got rid of her ear infection from it. You know, by
I have a sequence on earaches in the book too.
Yeah, you do. Oh my gosh, so great to get to talk to you, and thank you so much for writing this book. I'm going to gift it to a lot of people. The Book of Lymph, you guys, by Lisa Levitt Gainsley, CLT. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today, and have a wonderful weekend, Lisa.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
My pleasure. You guys, this is a really great book, and I'm so glad it's Friday. I'm ready for a break. Everyone, you get out there, get a little rest and relaxation, get some sun if you can this weekend. Remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Have some fun.